I'll declare the meeting open at 4 p.m. No announcements from yourself. Record of attendance. We have everyone in attendance. Sorry, we have one apology from Judd Hopkins, Executive Manager of Works, and Cassie Lewis. And Cassie Lewis, Executive Manager of Financial Governance Risk Australia. Right. Has nil leave absence. Declarations of interest by members. Anyone have any declarations of interest? Nil. We have no public, so there's no public question time. Applications for leave of absence at the next meeting. Nil. I have to go back a couple of steps. In accordance with Section 5.23A of the Local Government Act 1995 and Part 2A of the Local Government Regulations 1996, this council meeting is being digitally recorded. Audio. All recordings will be retained as part of the historical records and will be made available to the public via council's website, excluding recordings of matters that council take behind closed doors. I thought I was going to be right without it, but obviously not. 7.1, confirmation of minutes. Council meeting at 18th of February. Mover and seconder, Councillor Smoker, Councillor Simia. Any questions or comments? Analyze minutes. Anyone opposed to receiving those minutes? Carried. 7.2, minutes of the meeting of RORoC, held on the 5th of March, provided to council via the Showers portal. In attachment one, see them. Move Councillor Bowie, seconder. Councillor Miller. Any questions or comments, Elise?
Yeah, I've got a question. The landfill site running costs, where it seems to be going up and up, the loss, sorry. Is there a particular reason for this, or why is it becoming more and more of a loss every month?
I don't have the specific answer to that one, Councillor Noble, so if I could take that on notice, I'll give you no view of it, but yeah, the costs have been fairly fluid in terms of what fuel goes in, where, how far we're carting it in. Yep. So yeah, I'll give you a breakdown of it.
Yep.
Comparatively.
Can I make a comment? Yep. There too? I think there's some cell construction costs in there too.
Okay.
I would envisage that some of those will end up being drawn out and capitalised by the end of the financial year.
Yeah.
So there's some construction costs there too that have been sitting and operating at the moment.
I'd echo that answer. Stage one is almost full, and to utilise the remainder of stage one, there's been the infill brought in to create the cells. But then stage two had construction's already started. So there's already pits in place in stage two, fencing in stage two. So it's almost like it's, for a better term, two rubbish tips being run right at this stage. So
it's not really a loss. It's actually building a new cell.
Timing of the costs also. And probably the management of it since the works group started 2 years ago. So calibration of the Weybridge, like all these sort of things that were well overdue occurring and now occurring because the management is running a lot better.
Yep. What about the what's happening with this the Condon and Shire asking for this 300 or 400 cubic metres of asbestos soil. Is that something that's got to be...
Councillor Berry.
Can I answer that? It was a late item to the RORAC meeting, and the item hadn't been quite put together properly. There was a bit of conflicting information in there where part of the commentary said that the Wateran group and the Narrabeen school had this sensation when they delivered asbestos contaminated soil, which was actually incorrect. The motion has lapsed without getting a seconder. I initially wanted to move the original resolution, which just gave us the opportunity to put it on the table and discuss it. But anyhow, it didn't go ahead. I think what will happen is it will go back to the CEO's forum and they'll collaborate and find a way of dealing with that. So the question was put to us because it's normally not the shires that have got all the contaminated product. Yeah. And it could be that the Coolan Shire or one of the other shires is in the same situation going forward and they might come up with a system or maybe not. You know, Corrigan are very much of the opinion that we need to keep the funds coming in because the cost of running the facility is getting too great and worrying about having to dig new pits and whatnot. But I'm pretty sure the CEOs will come up with a solution at the next meeting.
This is an unfortunate situation because asbestos is mixed with other material. Mm. If you could take all the asbestos out of this 300 cubic metres, it wouldn't be...
Well, it's, you know, it was fairly rubbery numbers, 300 or 400 cubic metres. It could be 600. You know, and that's going to fill up pretty quickly. Yeah, just to do it for nothing, I sort of thought.
So the recommendation is likely to be that there'll be some payment, but as to what level.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably be framed in the way that if it's an external party, it's likely to be this full rate. But if it's actual a member shire of RORAC as a result of operation, there might be like 50% or something like that, or the cost of digging in the new asbestos hole, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Wait, until they actually start excavating it, it's probably that'd be one that you don't know how far you've got to go, I suppose.
Mm. And you're right, it could happen to any of us, any of the shires at some stage. Yeah, that's all.
There's another council that when they were putting in some pipes and they were digging, there were some old culverts underneath the road that they managed to find that were asbestos. That's created a huge problem on that one. So you never know when you're going to dig up.
Back down under the road.
Pretend you didn't see it. Any further questions for the RORAC minutes? Is anyone opposed to receiving those minutes? Barry? As new presentations and duplications. 9.1, list of accounts paid during the month of February 2026. We have a mover and seconder. Councillor Butler. Councillor Miller. Queries or comments out of that report? Anyone opposed to adopting the officer's recommendation? Carried. 9.2, financial report, February 2026. Mover and seconder. Councillor Noble, Councillor Siviant. Any queries or questions out of that report? I'm opposed to adopting the officer's recommendation? Carried. 9.3, draft renewable energy planning code. Mover and seconder, Councillor Sylvia, Councillor Bowie. Curious or comments out of that?
I'd like just to speak in.
Yes, Councillor Bowie.
In favour of the recommendation. I think it's a very good analysis of where we are at with and what we need to happen. So, yeah, that's reflective of what we, the issues we will have.
Further. Anyone opposed to adopting the recommendation? It's written. Carried. 9.4, Wolga electoral reform discussion paper. Have a mover and seconder. Councillor Miller, Councillor Noble. Any queries or discussion out of that? Anyone opposed to adopting the recommendation? There we go. Carried. The councillors. Given the level of detail within both the draft policy A14A and the reserve price of vacant land report, I'm open to a procedural motion to suspend standing orders to allow to discuss the elements informally prior to a formal debate. We'd have a mover and seconder. Councillor Smoker, Councillor Sylvia. All those in favour? Standing orders are now suspended. This is an opportunity for councils to discuss the policy and land report. Work through the key elements. We will keep the two items separate. So we'll first discuss the policy framework and then we'll discuss the pricing secondly. I'll throw over to Fiona.
Okay, so if we go through the policy first, and then I guess the reserve price of vacant land report deals with the pricing, the incentives, and the removal of the blocks. So if we can try and keep the discussion about that, if we can just deal with the policy first, then I think that will. I think that will work quite well. So I guess in terms of the major changes to the policy, it just clarifies the process for us for firstly how to set the values and the reserve prices, and it really makes it clear that the reserve price of vacant land report, which is adopted by council every 6 months, is the place where those values are set. I don't think that there's anything too controversial there, but if it's not to do with a residential block of land, then we would get an independent valuation at the time and bring it to council for approval. So the reserve price of vacant land report is only referring to the residential blocks that we've got for sale. The next part of the policy is just stepping through the actual sales process. So the thing that's changed here is point six, which is the introduction of an option to repurchase, which is added into the sales contract. So I'll There's probably two parts to that. There's the introduction of the special conditions, which is the option to repurchase, and also placing a caveat on the certificate of title at the same time, which prevents the land being sold or transferred until the conditions, that special condition is met. So I might pass back to you now, President, and you can have some discussion about that option to repurchase.
Gabriel, there, I think I might have, may have asked at the last. Is that that doesn't affect the borrowing fee against the title?
It shouldn't do. I think what we were talking about there was more where title didn't transfer until after construction was complete, whereas this is more a condition that goes with the actual sales.
So they still get the title. Does anyone have any queries or comments on that portion of it, Councillor Noble?
Just with the construction has not reached lock-up stage within 3 years of settlement, what happens if it's not their fault and it's just the builders haven't got to that stage? I'd hope someone would be penalised for something that's out of their control. You've been building, I mean, it happens in Perth all the time. You've been building and a builder goes broke or something happens and they just haven't got their house to that lock-up stage through no fault of their own. We're just wondering what would happen there.
Would it come back to council?
Yeah, I mean, we could either extend that three-year period.
Mm. As long as we have the option, the CEO or someone to say, yes, we can see you're trying and things are just being difficult, and let it go.
We could perhaps have extend that line, say, or as otherwise approved with prior notice by the council. So person constructing the houses, you know, there are delays because of things beyond their control. They can write to the council and say, can you please consider an extension in light of A, B, and C.
Yeah.
So maybe at the end of that sentence, we could say, if there are delays to the completion of construction, which are out of the buyer's control, they can apply to council for an extension.
Does it have to be documented?
What's that, sorry?
Does that sort of thing have to be documented?
I think it'll probably need to be in there, yeah. I would conclude it, and it's clear that it's not just, I guess, black and white, that's it. You're done. There's got to be a level of reasonableness to it. And it's none of that.
Extended any further.
And it's not automatically granted, I suppose, if it's worded like that. So it's not to be expected.
So, would you all be happy with that wording if there are delays to the completion of construction?
Aren't we only talking about lock-up stage? Part B is only talking about lock-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So if there are delays maybe to the buyer meeting this condition.
Yeah.
Meeting this three-year deadline.
I've got it extended from 2 to 3.
You know, I thought there was enough, but then when I saw that, you know, someone could be could be building materials you can't get
over a year to build the retirement home, and we had everything ready.
Hang on, Councillor Berry, what's that again, Terry?
Maybe like it could say special circumstances exemption. Apply for.
If there are special circumstances in which the buyer cannot meet
the deadline.
Part B, Part 6B, then they may apply to council for an extension.
So everyone's happy with that?
Yep.
That part of it? Yep.
And then happy with the having a caveat placed on the title as well. I think it's probably quite important that we go together.
Yep. Is anyone is everyone happy with that?
Yep. Okay, excellent. So that's probably the main part of the policy. The other thing that I've clarified in the policy is that we restrict any funds that come in from property sales until, so that if we do have to repay the money, that we've got that money set aside. So that will just sit in the Shire's restricted funds account. And that, you know, if those special conditions aren't met, then it would come to council to make a decision on how we proceed from that point. So that's the policy side.
Yep.
Excellent.
At the time of signing up a sale, Fiona, obviously the purchaser will get a copy of this policy. Their first question is going to be, why do you have to put a caveat on this? And I guess as long as we've got the right answer, and it's about us protecting, you know, the asset, but also, well, it's protecting them as well in a sense, isn't it? But I don't know. It might be a little bit, people might go, what? They're going to put a caveat.
Mm. So I guess it's about encouraging development. And I think as long as the policy sets are here that as soon as that special condition is met, then we lift the caveat, and that will be part of the special condition too. So that the wording of that condition, which will be drafted up by
a lawyer
now, mm-hmm. will be we'll make sure that it has all of those details in it. So
yep.
it's pretty clear on what happens at each step.
I guess we say, Robbie, it's purely the stock land banking. Exactly. That's all we're trying to avoid.
Happy with the policy side of it. See where we get to when it comes time to move those motions, whether we end up splitting it as two different motions or if everyone's in agreement with three as one. Go into the pricing side of it.
So I guess the reserve price of vacant land report has been our report that we've used for the last few years to set the market price, and the market price has been our sales price as well. So what we're doing now is we're setting the market value, which is based on an independent valuation. But we're also setting a reserve price, which is higher and more reflective of regional sales. So I guess what's happened with the market price over recent years is that we didn't have any sales for a long time. And so the independent values came down. And then to encourage development, we have lowered the price, and so that market value is very much based on just that, you know, Proud View Estate recent sales and things. So given the level of interest, I think it's really timely that we really look at the new reserve prices. And the reserve price of vacant land is where you guys will now set your discounts and incentives to. So you shouldn't have to go back and revisit your policy. We can every 6 months relook at purchase reserve price of vacant land report and just assess whether we think that that's appropriate at the time. So we will go through, we might just go through this step by step. So we'll look at the reserve prices first. You guys, it's based, have been provided in the past with some historical information on regional land sales. And so that is really what these new reserve prices are based on.
We'll go around the room and do the views. I think most of them, the only ones that would concern me are the Davies Road blocks, the ones with a straight frontage to that Davies Road. Because realistically, there's probably 6 to 10 metres that's unusable at the front of those blocks. And the ones that are 65, I think I'd rather see those road frontage, not including A that's up in the corner. Just the F through to B right along the front of that road to reduce the price of them ones a bit. Haven't had a great price in them blocks. And all the way through, we have managed to sell one of them. But, yeah, and especially with current speed limits, it's not a something you can develop right to the roadway. So I think there's just I'd sort of propose that those ones come back to, say, 55. And A being slightly bigger, it is slightly bigger and it's pretty secluded in there, whether we go up a little bit on value on that one, the 70 on that corner block. That's just my suggestion, Councillor Smoker.
In regards to the prices of, and mainly comparing Proudview, and then in a way it flows into Robertson, but I'm mainly, looking at Proudview, and I think it's important to cut down once the private works offer, because the old deal had private works in there as well as a discount once it got to lock up, as well as the purchase price. So 2012 purchase price of 90 and discounts of 35 end up with you might as well call the blocks worth 55. The last four sales that have occurred in Proudview with the private works taken into account and the discount once the deal, I'm just taking all that into account, whether each landholder has used that or not. The value comes to 6,100 roundabouts for the last four sales in Robertson in Proudview Estate. I find it difficult to justify, if I was discussing it to a ratepayer, that the price is going to go from 6,100 to 55,000. I don't know how we could justify, I'm not in favour of justifying that to a ratepayer because I can't do it myself. So, but I am in favour of removing the private works component. I agree with that. I'm in favour of the policy changes that we just went through. I'm in favour of all that. But I think our price of land, and similar, adding on to what President Robbins was saying, these are now the most difficult blocks to sell. All the good ones, of course, what's attractive sells first. So I am for the motion of keeping the price at $6,000, the final value, once discounts have been.
Get $6,000, sorry.
So the last four sales, to dig it out, it's roughly around
34. So they ended up being around, 32,000, excluding GST, and then you get your $15,000 discount. and then some site, $10,000 worth of site works on top of that.
We've removed the site works.
We have removed, yeah, and I'm not against that.
So when the market value, Fiona, when was that valuation done?
That was at 30 June 2025.
Yeah.
Brad, don't you think that's a little bit cheap when there's not many blocks left and we're going to have to start building another whole estate? I think $6,000 for a block of land in Coolum is just way too cheap.
We've just sold four for that price.
Yeah, I know, but there has to be a point. That was because we had a long time we didn't sell any. We're still trying to move land. Now that we haven't got money left, we've got to come to the point where if we sold the rest for $6,000, that could all go in 12 months. And then we've got no land. Right?
I don't see that as a bad thing. We're getting rates off that land if it's sold. At the moment, we're not getting rates off it.
Yeah, right, not.
So, and if we're promoting our community to have more people in our community to use services that we're providing and support business, I don't think that's... I think sale of the land is a great thing. I think holding up the salary.
But I just think that $6,000 is...
Yeah, but that's what they have been... Well, that's the proof. Well, that's what they have been sold for. So how do you justify the change? So if we've got, you know, enough reasons to change... And I'm saying, yeah, at the moment, this is changing it from 6 to 55, what we've got in front of you. Could be a figure somewhere in between.
Yeah. What's changed is the less availability.
Yeah.
Supply and demand.
And in hindsight, we should have bought these.
That's right.
Six months ago or 12 months ago. And started keeping up with the market. But I think when you see private blocks being sold for 27 now in town, that changes that $6,000 figure a fair bit, because that's what they're mostly paying private.
So going back to the policy, can I just ask one question about that? Has that always been the CEO can accept an offer 10%? Wasn't 20. So I must have misheard that. Okay.
There's what, Brett?
I'd be in favour of not increasing the price on Robertson Park either because of those same scenarios. I'm talking like the end price too. So yeah. Now we've taken off. Oh, was there any site works on Robertson? No, there was. So, yeah. I'm saying, so if you're taking off the site works, well, the value's got to come down by that amount to have the same cost of what people are buying.
Going around and get to the Bowie.
When I looked at the report that Fiona emailed to us with all the surrounding towns and what their valuations were, what their land was selling for, I thought that the numbers looked pretty good I thought they'd done a really good job of getting that correct. But I hadn't taken into account what Brad's, because we've set a precedent. That's the problem. So I think at some point the value of the land needs to go up, and I think we're at that point now because we haven't got any more that's been developed, and we haven't got power and water for all the others and the subdivision costs and that. The market value, as at the 30th of June 2025, maybe we should be closer to that number if you're saying that the 65, 67 is too much. But bearing in mind that there's a $15,000 discount in there, so you could go the 35 plus the 15. As being your reserve price, because you're getting market value for the block. And then these numbers keep moving every time we get a new market value valuation done.
That market values. I mean, what we've been selling them for, though, Robbie, that's not a...
No, that's a value evaluation, that one.
But it ends up being based on what we're selling them for.
Yeah.
Because then they get that information to base it on that.
Well, I don't agree that we should be letting the end value be 6,000, whatever. The end value has to be much greater than that. You're looking at 10,000 square metre blocks.
That was one suggestion, Robbie, so that's why we're just going around the room to get all the ideas of what you would like to, what you believe we should be doing, and then we can have a discussion from there. Whether you think they should be up around that or you're halfway in between or...
I agree. I don't think that there's been a mistake made in the reserve price that the staff have worked out based on the size of the blocks. But if we're thinking that the gap is too big between what has been previously sold and what we're up to now, then maybe we could trim that number a bit, but make sure that we're getting around the market value at the end of the day. That's so with the discount, I think that market value is where we should be looking as being the, you know, I mean, you take 10% off the 67, which is what Alan can accept, which is 10% off the reserve price. You know, you end up with about the 60, and then you take the 15,000 discount off. So around 45, but maybe with what is being suggested, maybe we just tweak that reserve price, but try and make sure we're getting close to that market value valuation. And then when we get that market value valuation done again in June, that those numbers move accordingly. Because at some point we have to work out how to increase the price. I mean, we can't be selling land in Coolin for half the price of what it's selling in Corrigan for Lake Grace.
Is that something? I would make it clearer between market value and reserve price column is we're actually talking about the reserve price column. So just to make it clearer, and then I'll sort of see if you agree with your figures, Robbie. So my preference is to make the reserve price $10,000 lower than all those market values per block. Robbie, if I can just say something, you see if you agree. Robbie would like to make the reserve price equal to the market value column. Does that make sense?
No. With bearing in mind the discount, so the 35,
yep.
So a 35,000 block, you're looking at around 50,
yep.
And then they get their 15 discount, so we get back to being market value. But I'm suggesting we alter the reserve price so that we still get close to that market value at the end of the day. And only because, I mean, if you just looked at those numbers in isolation, what's been worked out is actually, I think, very close to what it should be. But what we're saying is the gap's too big from what's historically been sold. Is that, that's what you're saying, isn't it?
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're happy with that, Robbie will go. Councillor Miller.
Yeah. I think scrap the discount, take that off the reserve price and just have it at the same price for everyone. I don't like the idea of the discount. It seems grey to me, and I just don't really see why ratepayers should be getting a discount over above anyone else. If anything, we should be there should be incentive for non-ratepayers to come to town and use our services and be part of our community. So I would just take the discount off the reserve price and a flat price for everyone. That's my view. And I think that comes out pretty close to market value, somewhere thereabouts anyway. Yeah.
Let's just remove the discount for everyone.
Yep.
Yep. So, Lasuvia.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I don't mind the discount for locals. I think it encourages maybe retirees, similar families coming off the farm, etc., to stay in town. But yeah, I also agree. I think reserve price probably needs to come down a little bit just to be a bit more enticing. The other option is we leave it where it is and see if any sell, and none sell within 6 months, then we reassess it. That's all I've got.
I think we should be. I don't agree with the discount. If we're taking out the site works already, taking a discount on the site works off, and maybe coming up with a figure. But there's no funny money, it's just a straight price, and that's the price. Like, if you've got private sales at $27,000, maybe that's a pretty good indication of where the market should be at. But yeah, I just don't like the idea of funny money discounts and stuff. I think it should, you don't have it in Perth, you don't have it anywhere else. The reason prices have gone up is because prices in the cities has gone up, and then it slowly flows down into the country. Are still pretty cheap. So
you'd be thinking around 50,000 for the bigger ones and 20 for the...
Yeah, probably, something like that, yeah.
Yep.
You don't want to make them to the point where no one's going to buy them. You don't want to make it completely cost prohibitive. But I just don't see any value in a discount, really.
I think slowing, there's two things. We want to slow it down a bit, we don't want to stop it.
No, that's right. That's exactly right, yeah. So, yeah, somewhere in between where the numbers we've got here.
Mullen.
Lockie, I tend to be in favour of the discount just to look after our local ratepayers. Encourage them or give them the option, I guess, to still remain in Coolum. I sort of see them as a fairly valuable asset to our community. New people coming in can be as well. I'd argue the general trend is not always, but so having that discount there for our ratepayers, I think it's not a bad thing. Just the general increase in demand has pushed the prices up, and I think that's a fair justification for increasing the price of the blocks we've got left. There's not many left, and you look at what it's going to cost a new development, what those blocks will have to retail for. I would imagine they would be of these sort of prices once we run out. And I think we can probably accept that we have given away some blocks maybe too cheap in the last 18 months. And increasing up the value of, say, Browview Estate to these sort of levels, it's reward a bit for those guys that invested in that Browview Estate in the early days. They did pay that sort of money.
What sort of rates? Say for Browview, what were the rates? Depends on the rental value you have. Just with a basic.
So the establishment cost was around 35,000 block. Does that sound about right? About 50 per block. So the cost of getting...
That
power.
Proud view.
Yeah.
What is it today?
Yeah.
Yeah, just thinking, like, if we sit on them, and when we got to that cheaper price, we were looking at the rate value of it. So if we're thinking we're going to get $2,000 a year rates and we're going to sit on them for the next 10 years, then we drop the price, and that's where we end up dropping the price, because we're better off getting a couple of earn money for them rather than have the block sitting there. So if 2,000 is a figure that you could, whatever the figure is, it's just, and that's why when we lowered the prices originally, it was sort of based on better off getting some money coming back than having an empty box sitting there doing nothing.
You make decisions based on the conditions of the day, and that was the right thing to do back then.
Yeah.
Hence why we sit here today. What's the right thing to do going forward? Just because we've sold some blocks, in my opinion, a net cost of $6,000 to $7,000 doesn't mean we have to keep it there. Farmland was worth
exactly
what it was 5 years ago, and all of a sudden that's now worth what it is today. Mm-hmm. I don't see residential blocks any different. I think the demand will still be there, given what's happened in our other local towns of Corrigan and Beverley and those places that have now got no land left. Oh, the demand's still there.
I was in two minds about the discount. Initially, I thought just ditch the discount, but I like the fact that it's an incentive to get a house built. You know, people can see that, I'm going to get that $15,000 discount. So, they get onto the project and do it, and if they, otherwise they're going to miss out on getting the discount.
I guess you're putting your option to repurchase in there now, which hopefully...
So that negates it a bit, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So I guess from an administrative point of view, not having those incentives in place is probably a bit of a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just... I guess you guys
weighing up whether you think maybe split that up and we'll just focus on the discount. Get the level of support to continue with the discount.
Right. I'm sort of being guided a bit by what Fiona says here. As I said, originally I wanted to ditch it, and then I thought, that's a good incentive, but I'm happy.
We built another incentive in now, so.
Yeah, you have to finish it in 3 years, otherwise we take it back. Yeah. Okay.
I think there's a fair few moving pieces of this set, and we want to get it right. An early council meeting in April, so something the 15th, or we can call a special meeting with a bit more work to get it exactly right. If there is half and half discount, no discount, reserve price to what level, a bit more analysis. I think that's a small approach.
But there's a lot more analysis we could do on it, though, isn't there? We've got the neighbouring prices. We know what we've been selling them for. And
in terms of what you're exactly going to adopt today, which is
go with it.
I think we'll do that with the discount initially. So all those in favour of continuing with the discount. That's two. And all those to remove the discount.
Not sure. I thought I don't
know. You do.
You should.
Hang on.
Yeah, it is being recorded, yeah.
That'd be just one.
Oh, what's that?
Throw up. We're out behind camera, aren't we?
No, we're still being recorded. We're just not, it's not minuted. And yeah, that might be a difference.
We're still counting.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, Councillor Bowie. I've got to remove the discount. I think that's a big enough margin. And if we can go back and look at pricing, do we go halfway? And there's the room at that.
What I've got here is going from top to bottom. Crowd view. Block A, 52,000. Block B, 50. C, 50. D, 50. D, 50. F, 50. H, 50. That's what we're looking at that. Basically deducting.
That's deducting the discount.
Discount off. Yes, otherwise listed as a reserve price.
Just vote on that.
What was the suggestion? Sorry.
Taking the 15.
So basically, the consensus is to remove the discount, so thereby you're taking what is otherwise in the column of discount and deducting that from the current listed reserve price in the attachment that you have. So, for example, Block A of Proudview, currently listed at 67. You've taken away the discount, that reserve price now comes back to 52.
Yeah, I'm in favour of that.
And that theme right through for the rest of the blocks, Proudview, Robertson.
All those in favour of?
You're asking us to be in favour of the actual price, not so much the structure.
That's the pricing of it, yeah. Yeah, to remove that.
To set the reserve price.
Set to remove the discount. Replacing the reserve, remove the discount.
Yep. Reduce the reserve, the listed reserve price as it's in the attachment.
Yep. Yeah, so all those in favour of and against? So that's one against. Yes, 6-4.
So the next thing is probably just to make sure everyone is in agreement that we don't have the site works incentive anymore, and that we can still quote on that and provide that service as a private works job. But I feel that there's probably a little bit more risk in that area these days, and it depends on our capacity. If we sold four blocks at once and all of a sudden they all needed site works, our capacity may not be there to provide it. So,
all those in favour of removing the site works? Unanimous.
And then the last thing is blocks in Robertson Park, 500 square metre blocks, I through to M on Gordon Street, so that's from 23 to 31 Gordon Street, removing those from the reserve price of vacant land report, so they're not for sale, and holding those for the outcome of the Roo Rock.
Hold for the Roo Rock housing development application and or any other local initiatives. Could be what you spoke about earlier.
Or it could be an independent investor that wants to come in and do it. So we just, those lots would have to come back to the council before sale.
Yep.
One question. Block B in Robertson Street, which is the 500, is that the one that we're using?
No.
We're building on that?
No, we're building on number 6 and 8.
Okay.
So all those, you lost me train of thought.
Yeah. So we're removing those Gordon Street blocks from the schedule.
All those in favour of removing those. Yep, unanimous.
Yes, Councillor Swagger.
Could I just add one more discussion topic? Would people in the room support that council review the reserve price at the point that a sale is confirmed, so that you actually are following the market rather than just leaving it for 6 months? Okay. Yeah, are we allowed to request a trigger for when every sale goes through?
So would you like every sale to come to council for approval? Is that what you're saying?
Well, because we're trying to meet the market, so that information is actually more important at the point of each sale rather than just...
So at the moment, I've got a list of 7 prospective buyers that I need to get back to. So we could bring it back to the next meeting.
Well,
if those inquiries convert to a genuine...
Yeah, or the May meeting even.
Yep.
But the CEO has delegated authority to accept an offer of reserve price within 10%. So
Yeah, but what I'm requesting is that council
information come back after
council
that.
Get the information that a sale has transacted.
Yes, yes. Not to stop the sale, but just
In this situation, this is unique because the other information that needs to come back to council is out of the seven current expressions of interest in place, if zero want to proceed, that's important for council as well.
Yeah.
So. Yes, I think we can provide that information.
That's just a regular update of the available.
Yeah. I'll see that, yeah. Price of sale.
Yeah. Yep.
Keep that. Have an eye.
So, Fiona, just for clarification, those seven people, what are they actually waiting for to know what the price is going to be, or are they?
So they are all people who have been quiet about buying that I've said that the council's reviewing the policy.
Out of curiosity, are they majority Proudview estate? Or
yes.
All of them? Or?
All except one.
Okay. Yes. Predominantly locals?
No.
There is only seven for sale. You said all but one. Okay.
So they haven't necessarily inquired about specific blocks.
Yeah, okay.
Inquired about, some have, but yep. Others have just made an inquiry about.
All the rest of the parts of the motion there.
Speaking of, with respect to policy A14A, exceptional circumstances, if you're not able to meet that 3-year, the proposed conditional clause, sort of takes care of that. It says, notwithstanding the above, the purchaser may make written application to the Shire seeking extension of time to meet construction requirements, specifically the requirement to reach lock-up stage within 3 years. Settlement, such application must be made prior to expiry of the agreement and must demonstrate reasonable grounds for delay, including but not limited to builder availability, supply chain constraints, weather events, or other unforeseen circumstances. Council may, at its discretion, grant an extension subject to such terms and conditions as it considers appropriate.
We use a lot less words.
We say it simple, but yeah.
So we're going to include that as part of that policy when we come back for the motion. We can still grant the motion as written and take it back. Included.
So you'll read that out, Grant?
No, because that's only one part of the whole. So that we'll just take that as included into the policy. Okay. The 14 A.
Yeah, when you adopt that, I can just read it out and then it goes on the notes on the record.
Yeah. So they including for the.
Again, for the reserve price of basically any references to the discount are removed.
Yep, so reserve price of vacant land removed, noting the following facts. So removal of discount. The value, the discount, being deducted on the listed reserve price as per attachment circulated in the agenda, and removal of site works.
Oh, no, because that's already in.
That's already in.
Oh, but and removal of blocks I to M in Robson Park.
Better write them out when we get to it. Uh-huh. So I think if there's any further discussion on any of that, or everyone's happy with Councillor Sibia.
Just on a quick go. So with the, I suppose, the advertising of the blocks previously, have we actually advertised anywhere that we offered a discount? Is that true? When you just, basically, if you Google it, does it come up with anything?
If we removed it
from, we have removed it now, yep. But that's only since these discussions.
Yeah, okay.
But it was advertised and it was on our advertising.
So we are likely to get a few people jump up and down and say that it's changed a lot.
Yeah, possibly.
Yep, right. Cool.
We have got new advertising ready to go, which doesn't allude to that. It's more of a prospectus, nice and glossy, and what blocks are available.
Yep.
So that's what we'll replace everything with, and hopefully that supersedes old information.
Yep. Thank you.
Now we're going to have a mover and second and resume standing orders. Councillor Mullen, Councillor Miller. Are all those in favour? Carried.
So the officer's recommendation with a noted amendment is that council adopts the revised policy A14A, sale of residential land and housing, noting the following changes inserted under clause 6 with reference to the 3-year condition of getting to lock-up stage. It will read, notwithstanding the above, a purchaser may make written application to the Shire seeking an extension of time to meet the construction requirements, specifically the requirement to reach lock-up stage within 3 years of settlement. Such application must be made prior to expiry of the applicable timeframe and must demonstrate reasonable grounds for delay, including but not limited to builder availability, supply chain constraints, weather events or other unforeseen circumstances. Council may, at its discretion, grant an extension subject to the terms and conditions as it considers appropriate. In part two, Council adopts the updated reserve price of vacant land report, noting the following changes. Removal of the discount. Two, noting the value of the discount being removed will be deducted from the listed reserve price of the attachment circulated with agenda papers. Three, removal of blocks noted within Robertson Park, namely those blocks referenced I through to M, as they will not be listed for sale. And three, that authorises the Chief Executive Officer to implement the policy and make minor administrative amendments where required.
Is anyone opposed to adopting that recommendation? Councillor Smoker? Yeah, one on 12 or not? Yeah. 6-1. In favour of the motion.
Right,
9.6 in your budget review. Mover and seconder, Councillor Bowie, Councillor Miller. Any questions or discussions? Anyone opposed to adopting the recommendation? Carried. 10.1, compliance reporting, general and financial compliance, February 2026. If we could have a mover and seconder, Councillor Soker, Councillor Mullen. Any questions or discussion out of that report? Anyone opposed to adopting that report? Recommendation? Carried. We have no motions which previous notice have been given. No motions from members without notice. We do have one additional item, 13.1. In that, I'm going to get out a mover and seconder.
This one's just to provide a bit of background. The State Road Funds for the Local Government Advisory Committee and the Weld representation. And that committee is currently open. Councillor Robbins seeks to nominate for that committee. Go to a selection panel at Welga. So in order to the nominations close on Thursday, 26th of March. And you know, as such, it's recommended this item be brought forward as a urgent item of business to facilitate the nomination with council's approval. So need a procedural motion to introduce this item as an urgent item for business.
Mover and Councillor Noble.
Hello.
Is anyone opposed? Carried.
Sorry. Go hard, Grant.
You've got the officer's report there and with a recommendation.
There's no items that the meeting is closed to the public.
Oh, need to vote for the officer's recommendation to.
Oh, sorry, I thought that's what we did before.
No, so can introduce it as an urgent item of business.
Yeah, right, yeah. We can have a mover and seconder for the officer recommendation. Yep. Councillor Smoker, Councillor Sivian. Vote on that. Yep. Anyone opposed? Carried. Well, there's no items that the meeting is closed to the public. And we'll close the meeting at 10:05. Next ordinary meeting will be on 5th of April.